Welcome back, Panther fans. I'm Ryan Graham. I'm here with Tim Thurber.
Hello.
And we're absent David Brown.
I don't see him.
And this is State of Atlanta. No beer today?
Just vodka.
Oh, I messed up the background. Oh, God, I did everything but the background. I did that for not having done it in like a year.
Just the black screen was you?
What's that? Oh yeah. Well, I did change the background so that we'd have that front thing first with the waiting on Ryan. So we'll figure it out. You know, I mean, I feel like if the only thing we mess up is a black background at the beginning, we'll probably do all right.
I think so.
Of course. It's only just begun.
One thing we won't talk about right off the bat is the schedule. So let's talk about something else.
That's what you have as the first thing on our
fine schedule. It's terrible.
Oh God.
It is.
Did you just trick me into saying let's do the schedule?
Basically, yes.
Son of a
one of two things happen on the schedule. Either
here, I'm gonna one up David even.
Ooh.
I got the schedule and I have I can present it so we can talk about it while people are watching. Or if you're listening, we'll say enough.
So anyway. The schedule. Either they were drunk or they hate our podcast and said, you hate the schedule. Watch what we do to you next year.
What did they do? I don't get it. We're playing 12 games. That's right.
We do play 12 games, there's a big four stretch of away games, right smack dab in the middle.
And four home games, right when the weather's nice.
We have four home games, but that's not common in any schedule we've ever had. And it's not coming for the Sun Belt. Looking at all the other teams that have schedules, only one other team has a three-game stretch. That's it. Everyone else has two as the maximum away or home at the same time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there. They went even further.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. A bye in week four after we're just getting off of three games? And then another one in week six?
So that's right after
Right after Vanderbilt, we have a bye week. Yep. And then we have Trash Down South, which it doesn't matter where you put them on the schedule. It's an easy W.
Let's take the bye week before Trash Down South. That's nice, right? I mean, that's typically what you do is you put the bye week in front of your rival.
I like the prep time, but week four is kind of weird. We're just getting into the schedule, essentially. Like, you're three games in, you know?
Yeah. Those are early buys, for sure. To have, like, both of them, like, right there is...
Yeah.
A little crazy.
And then week six, another bye week. So you got TDS sandwiched between bye weeks. And then you go through the gauntlet of seven games in a row. Away and home. I would give the Sun Belt. We have a home, away, and home to end the season. And then potentially host the championship game. Because, I mean, if McGee can get through this schedule and get us the championship game, give him a freaking raise. I mean,
right away.
This is tough.
Yeah.
I was going to do instant reactions or like we could do way too early records. I don't even want to think about it right now. It's a tough schedule. You could argue we have four home games with Tech being away, right?
Yeah.
So.
Tech is basically going to be a home game because anyone in Atlanta who wants to go to that game is going to be able to go to that game.
Every Panther fan should go to that game,
yeah.
No matter what.
Like if you were gonna show up at Center Park, then you should show up at Bobby Dodd. Like, period.
Yeah. So 8 weeks without a bye, 9 weeks straight. If we make it to that championship game, that's tough.
Do byes really do that much?
They let you recharge, kind of. If you have some injuries, heal up a little bit. I would have preferred if they pushed a bye somewhere towards the middle of that end of the schedule and just pushed someone else up. Like Old Dominion, put them right after TDS. We don't need a week off to prepare for Old Dominion after TDS. Just put them together. In fact, put it right before App State. Go Southern, ODU, Marshall, bye week, and then App State. I think that would be perfect schedule-wise.
Something about this I like, though.
You like it?
Just four on, four off, and then on, off, on is really nice. And then we end the season at home, which is real nice, too.
I do like that, except for the, you know, one little fact of no home team has ever won that game.
Hey.
We got to break it. This
is the year.
This is the year. Wait, is this the year for app?
This is the, no.
Come on.
No. No. No, but I guess I'm not allowed to say that this is the year for Coastal because of that. You're right. You reminded me. You're just such a downer today, Tim. You know,
it's just the schedule, man.
You made me talk about the schedule and then you use my own logic against me. I'm not into this.
I will say the colors look good. I can see where you're going for. It's all that blue all at once and all that black all at once and then blue, black, blue. I can see why it visually looks good. It's just when you take it apart, it's not very good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough schedule for McKee's first year, no doubt. I mean,
well, and he was already going to have a tough time because we were like fourth to last on returning production. And I mean, this was always going to be a tough year. A lot of people said that Sean left because it was going to be a tough year and he saw the writing on the wall. He was like, man, I'm not going to get that on my record. And dipped, right? I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second.
Nah,
I know why he left. He was very upfront about it, and I believe all the reasons he left are the reasons he left. But people, I mean, it was always going to be a tough year.
It is. I mean, I like the end of our schedule. I will say this: I like the last three games. I mean, Texas State obviously has been up and down in the conference. We play them away on 11/23, just before Thanksgiving, week before Thanksgiving. I like that. Maybe they'll have a down year after they transferred every single player in their roster last year. So, and then Coastal Carolina, you know, they're not going to be in the top of the conference, the top two. So Arkansas State, Coastal Carolina is not too bad. Who knows what Texas State will be like this year, how many transfers we'll have. So it's not a bad end to the schedule. But we'll see. I don't know.
All right.
All I know is everyone better be at Tech on 8/31. So,
yeah, and with the tailgate, we're still now it's sort of up in the air. I think we're discussing either on the roof or in a parking lot, and TBD. We got to figure out what the situation is.
Yeah, I think potentially, depending on the time of the game, we'll have a plan. I think we might actually end up doing kind of a mixed tailgate where we tailgate the majority on the rooftop, and then at some point we cut a little bit early, take some roadies, not that kind of roadie, Ryan, and then head on over maybe around the varsity area, kind of experience that tailgate as a big group, and then head on over to the game. Might do that.
We'll play it by ear. We'll figure something out. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it'll be a good time though, no matter what. You know, State of Atlanta hooks it up.
Yeah. So schedule wise, I mean, we already knew Georgia Tech, Chattanooga, and Vanderbilt. Those dates were set, and obviously UConn as well. Southern, it looks like all they did was move it up way up in the schedule. And same thing with ODU. We ended with ODU last year. Now they're midway through. Marshall seemingly feels like it moved up a little bit. App definitely moved up. They just like kind of flip-flopped everything.
Which one of those is rivalry weekend? Is that Coastal?
It is Coastal. That is our rival per the Sun Belt. It's official. They called it the Beach Chickens are our rival.
It's not Texas State though, you're sure?
It's the last week.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought there's usually another game after rivalry week. Rivalry week.
Not this time.
Rivalry is a hard word.
Yeah, it is a hard word actually. So is brewery. It's hard.
Yeah, and rural. Rural.
Yeah, it's very rural of you.
the rural juror.
So looking at the schedule some more, I like having UConn be the sandwich between App and JMU because, man, App and JMU, having them back-to-back would have been away, just brutal. I mean, I wonder if
that's basically our bye week, right? I mean, that is the bye week we needed is UConn, even though it's travel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe we can just head on up to Marshall, stay up there, come a little bit south, go to App, then go way up north to UConn and then go south again to JMU before we finally get to home. Don't even come back to Atlanta. Just stay away from them a whole month. Wait, they can't do that. They're kids. They're in school.
Yeah, yeah. We got children involved and all that stuff. You do it, man. I mean, yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Just be our man on the road.
I wish. I wish I could. There's definitely this year, like, conflicts between Georgia and Georgia State are out there. So obviously we had Georgia State games, but there's more conflicts than normal. I think there's 4 of 6 games have conflicts, which is good and bad. Depends on how you look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I just think, yeah, you can't compare yourself to them and like worry about them when you're making the schedule, at least. You know, no. you don't even want them to do that, really. So just how the cards fall.
I do like not missing Southern, because that has been in the past. We always played them the week of Georgia, Florida. And so when it was at home and, you know, I was down at Amelia, I would miss it. So now I miss nothing because it's all away.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I like true. It.
Which weekend is that? That's the UConn, right?
11-2. It's a UConn.
Yeah, that's the UConn one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know we were talking about going to UConn as a group for the podcast, but obviously that's
were we? I'm not going up there.
At least David and I were talking about going up to UConn. Maybe drunkenly talking means like every game we're going to go to it. We're probably not going to go to 95% of them, but we should try to make it out to one of the away games other than Tech. That doesn't.
Yeah. I was about to say, I'm going to go to one, Tech.
That's it. You don't want to go to App? We had so much fun. It was so cold. Oh my God.
Appy is one that I would like to go to eventually. I've said that many times. I would like to go hang out in Boone for a day. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I know you guys did it already. So
it's definitely worth going to. As a, I like the stadium's nice. I mean, it's definitely as picturesque as everyone makes it out to be. The town's nice. We hit a nice bar right before the game. But I said I didn't want to go to Appy until I thought we had a chance to win. And so I thought we had a chance to win. I thoroughly thought we could have won that game the way we were playing. And we just, whew.
GSU'd it.
The wheels fell off so fast in that second quarter. I just went and got two more beers. That was the only solution to the problem. So tough schedule. I don't know. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Well, but it's his.
They signed up for it. They get free education and all kinds of goodies now. They get NIL money and all kinds of stuff. So
we could start out 5-0 theoretically. I mean, you beat Tech, you can beat Chattanooga. You know, even though it's a pesky FCS team, Vanderbilt's at the bottom of the barrel of the SEC.
Yeah, but that would still be. I mean, beating Georgia Tech and Vandy would be awesome, right? We'd be
on cloud nine. High. Right? We're gonna 12-0 season.
Well, we have enough Georgia Tech people on our staff now, I guess, right? So like
it's really the cross-pollination between Georgia Tech and Georgia State is super weird.
Yeah.
There's one school no one's taking from though, or two.
Well, in a way, you're not right. But I'm going to let you keep going and
no one's
and
from
not
Kennesaw,
explain that.
Right? No Kennesaw people have gone from to Tech, State, or Georgia.
No, and Bohannon came up in the initial list that were coming out. People were talking about Kennesaw's coach, so which I wasn't very excited about because he's a triple option guy.
Yeah,
I was excited about that because PJ Volker is part of that staff, and or maybe he's not anymore. I don't know. He was. And he could come back. I liked PJ Volker.
What if we moved to the triple option? Would you stop watching our football team?
Or
you
no, and like, I would start would rooting for the triple option immediately.
You'd just be like, this is the best offense ever. I don't know why people don't run this offense. It's the
No, I'd probably be upset because we'd fumble the ball a lot and I'd be upset about that. But I would still hope for its success.
All right. I know what you're saying. There is a Southern person that's on our staff, but like he wasn't just at Southern, right? He had other stops in between. I know. We have to overlook
staff.
We have to overlook that. I know it's the head coach, but we overlooked that fact, right? He was just, you know, a junior. That was like 2015, right? That's a
mistake,
long time.
Mistake.
Ago.
We all make mistakes, right? We all have a history. We all have things that we regret.
He knew to call that school down south at the.
He didn't. Well, he didn't go harder, but that's fine. I'll take it.
He'll learn. He hasn't talked to us yet. He should. He needs to.
Well, they wouldn't let us talk to him. So,
also, it's hard to talk to him when you can't. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Was the press conference after the last call or was it before? It was last week.
It was last week.
Yeah. So we haven't done a podcast since then.
Yeah.
So I raised my hand during the press conference to ask a question. I was going to ask about any potential assistance.
Yeah.
And you know, I figured he probably couldn't answer it, but if he had an answer, it'd be really cool and interesting.
Sure. I'm
interested in it. That's the next thing on our agenda, because it's interesting.
You got a high five instead.
I was told by the staff at Georgia State that only media could ask questions, because I guess we're not media.
We're not considered the right media.
I don't know.
Maybe we're not the right media. Maybe
it seems like a consistent thing where we're just like not respected as that, because we're so non-traditional. Like, not only do we not do like sports talk kind of, you know, but like we also, I don't know. I have no clue.
We're not serious enough media.
The Thursday people didn't ask any questions. I don't know if they were allowed to. I don't know what that was, but they were there. Maybe they didn't ask any questions.
So, I mean, but like back to the schedule, seriously.
Okay.
I mean, beat Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech, followed up with a win at home via, you know, FCS Chattanooga. Welcome in our first SEC opponent. Yeah, that's right. Vanderbilt, beat them. You're 3-0 going into the bye week. How high would we be flying just even then, going into trash? Then you beat trash, and then you have another bye week. Now we're 4-0. It's not even October 12th yet. I mean, can you imagine how high we'd be at that point going into ODU?
I mean, that, yeah. I mean, that'd be nuts. I don't see it, but that'd be nuts.
Come on. Did you think we would have been the record we had this past year?
We're not close enough to the season to be that positive. You know, I feel like we start thumping our chests a few weeks before
going to App State.
That'd be nuts, man. That'd be crazy. I don't see it, but that'd be crazy.
I know.
We'll all, you know, before the season starts, we'll have our predictions and all that stuff.
We will. I would take a win against Tech for a loss to Chattanooga and Vanderbilt.
I would too.
I mean, I hate saying
Chattanooga.
I hate saying it, but like if you put that offer out there, I'd take it.
Yeah, winning. Yeah, I would too. Definitely.
And then they'll feel really bad when we lose to Chattanooga and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but I mean, we've felt that before. And at least it would be like we didn't lose Georgia Tech and win Chattanooga, because that would feel good in a different way. I don't know. I'd be more excited about the switch that.
Yeah.
And we've been known to, you know, get up for a good team and then play down to a bad team. That's definitely something that happens. But Dell's we're in a new era, so you know, who knows what he can get the team to do.
We are definitely in a new era. Yeah. And he's picked up lots of solid assistants, hasn't he?
Yeah. Good segue.
Yeah.
All right. Today was announced officially that we have Jim Chaney and Kevin Scherer as our offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, which is pretty rad. You know about Jim Chaney, right?
I mean, he's at UGA, so yeah.
For a couple years, right?
For a couple years.
Kirby Smart got hired. He was the first OC that came on.
He's been at some pretty named programs: Purdue, Tennessee, Arkansas, Pitt, UGA. I mean, I know he's jumping around a lot, so a lot of people are worried about that. I think that I've seen some posts about it, but he got some solid experience in top P5 upper echelon teams.
Yeah, and I think he's been an analyst now for a few years too, which is another like sort of question mark. Like, if you were that high profile at those high profile schools, then like, what's the deal? But I mean, if you go look at who he recruited, the quarterbacks that played under him at UGA and whatnot, I mean, it's nuts. The common thread through all the assistants is recruiting. So,
yeah, I mean, recruiting, and like a lot of P5 caliber assistants.
A lot, yeah. Yeah.
Except for, I think there's one that's potential from like a high school, I think.
Oh yeah, which is fine. That's
which
great.
I'm fine with that.
We want that.
Yeah.
John Adams. And then Kevin Scherer was the defensive coordinator at South Alabama and Tennessee. Both Jim and Kevin, Chaney and Scherer, who says first names, they were on the sidelines in Tennessee when we beat them.
So did they get fired that year?
You know what? The thing is, we were a little sad about that at first, but they actually did well that year, right? They turned that program.
They did.
That program got turned around that year, and they ended really strong.
And then I feel like they got sanctioned the next year. Like, I think they did get, they had to like take some wins and give them back. So I don't know. I like the two hires for OC and DC. I think we were chatting about, can we run the, someone was saying on our group chat, you know, should we run the offense and defense that they led at their prospective schools? And I said, sure. I mean, if we have the personnel, why not? But personnel is going to be an interesting question mark. I'm curious what Mickey does with the upcoming portal. If we can get anything, any movement, any adjustments, any changes, pull some people from schools that might be thinking, I'm not going to play. And
yeah,
look at the staff. Oh my God, I want to transfer.
Yeah. I was a little nervous about that answer in the press conference. Honestly, he said that, you know, the NIL and, or not the NIL, the transfer portal is something that he's going to look at. But it seemed like sort of a side thought compared to high school recruits, which I understand wanting to get your like core recruits in, but I just don't see either one as a side thought. I think you really got to work both. So that's where I was just a little concerned there, because I think that if you're not really focused on that transfer portal, it's going to get you.
You have to. I mean, it's the new way college football works, whether you like it or not, along with NIL. Like, you cannot you can't ignore it. You can't just go to the high school. I remember hearing that answer and I was like, okay. I mean, yeah. I love developing, you know, new players that are coming out of high school, but you're going to have to be ready that developed player after a year bolts, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just have to be ready for that. And you can't keep saying I'm only going to recruit high school players. You're going to have to pull a lot in from the portal to fill holes on your team when you develop these players into really good ones that then get paid six-figure salaries to go play somewhere else.
But. Yeah. So those coordinators, they were announced today. So they are like official. They have been announced from the school accounts and everything like that. So those people are definitely in. We do have a bunch of people who are not officially announced. And when I count them, there are too many of them. So I picked them out of various places. Panther Talk, as well as 24/7 has like a little running coaching carousel thing. So I was picking names out of there. But what I found out was there was 10 names here, and there really should only be 8. Because there's only 10 assistants allowed. Oops. So, but the list that we got was Carter Blunt for the special teams coordinator. He was an analyst at Tennessee and Georgia Tech last year. And then Jeremy Hawkins was at Eastern Kentucky, and he's a defensive lines coach, maybe. Juwan Taylor for inside linebackers. He was off-field roles at UGA and a player at UGA, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he played there. And then the really cool one, Antrell Allen, who played for Georgia State, obviously, and was part of Sean Elliott's staff. It sounds like they're going to keep him. So
someone made it through, right?
What's that?
I said someone made it through.
I know. I hope Dan finds a landing spot, because, I mean, he wants to be a coach. It's going to be rough.
Even if you can find, like, an analyst position somewhere.
I mean, yeah. Or maybe even move down to like FCS or something like that and see if there's anything available there. But man, I just feel bad for him, because it's his only experience is here, you know?
Yeah.
And then Coach Elliott didn't go somewhere where he could like bring people with him.
Well, he could. He does have influence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whether he wants to use it or not.
Yeah.
Bringing that Panther blood over with him.
Yeah. And so there's also Jeremiah Wilson, who's the same position coach. They're both secondary, but it's been reported that they are sharing it. So I don't feel like those are people. One of them is one of the ones that are out. Like I was saying, there's too many coaches.
Yeah.
That seems pretty solid. None of it's been announced by the school yet, but I don't know.
Co-secondary coaches.
I've never heard of it, but
hey, if you can think of it, Georgia State can do it or fail at it. So
who knows?
You never know.
So he was previously secondary coach at Akron and UT Chattanooga, so one of our opponents, and an analyst at Auburn, Florida State, Tennessee. I mean, so the common thread keeps going on, right? SEC.
SEC, ACC.
John Adams, I just have defensive assistant coach for him. Some of these people are defensive or offensive. I don't think we know where they're going to land yet. But he's the high school coach that we talked about.
State titles two of the last three seasons, so that's not bad.
Yeah,
so,
out of Cedar Grove.
Up and coming. I don't even know. I'm not from Georgia, so I have no clue what Cedar Grove is or where it's at. But it's somewhere in Georgia.
I'm pretty sure one of the good schools, one of the good football schools.
Is it? Okay.
I should have looked it up before we got on here, but I'm pretty sure I saw that name pop up a lot when I was looking at recruiting stuff. And I'm sure somebody right now is yelling at their speakers because
I'm from Cedar Grove.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, two or three seasons is great. I mean, that means you're going to get a really good coach who's hungry to succeed. So I like that hire.
That's exactly right. And they know what the culture is in high schools across the state, especially when they're playing in the championships and all that kind of stuff. So like I really like the hires out of the head coaching ranks of Georgia high schools, specifically good Georgia high schools.
Exactly.
All right. Next up on here was this is a tough one. Damayun Craig.
Okay.
Damayun, offensive assistant, and he was previously a wide receivers coach at Texas A&M and LSU.
Not too shabby. I mean, we're naming all these terrible schools
here. I just don't even know how we do this.
I gotta hand it to McGee. I mean, I don't know. I want to go back to Coach Elliott's hires and his first hires, and then go figure out where they coached before and just compare them and see what they look like, because I don't remember this many SEC, ACC, big schools being listed for any of our assistants before. Maybe I have it all wrong, but like it just sounds impressive what he's been able
to do. SEC, ACC lateral moves.
Right.
You know, it's not even like they went from a whatever to a what, like we hired a assistant coach in the SEC and they moved up to, you know, defensive coordinator or something. Like, it's just weird.
It is.
Ryan Williams for quarterbacks, and he's out of UGA. I forget if he was an analyst or not. I just wrote down UGA. Whoops.
I mean, with the championship team, I like it.
What it seems like Dell did was just wrap his arms around a bunch of assistants too at UGA. There are a number of people who they were biding their time at UGA, and he's like pulling them, yanking them out. So. Will Healy is an interesting one. Our running backs coach was a former Charlotte head coach.
Oh, wow.
Right? Like, what is that?
This is one of the ones head scratcher. Is there some other tie in here? I hope. Like, do we really want Charlotte's prior head coach?
Well, so apparently he did really poorly at Charlotte, but the year before he went to Charlotte, he did a big turnaround at Austin Peay.
Okay. Which is
FCS, I believe. And then after Charlotte, he was, I think, an analyst for UCF under Lane Kiffin. So, you know, maybe he's our cheater that we need.
Maybe.
Maybe Lane Kiffin taught him the art of the cheat.
So he's coming from UCF?
Yeah, I believe that was his last gig, was an off-field.
ACA, I'm looking at him now. So he's an ACHC, so assistant head coach. Okay. Analyst. Okay. So just an analyst at UCF. That's not bad.
An off-field coach at UCF under Lane Kiffin. So
yeah. One thing it's interesting. I read an article on who's the guy that came from Tech? Cheney or Scherer?
Scherer.
So there's one article in Sports Illustrated that said former Georgia Tech DC or co-DC. And I was like, I guess they don't really broadcast when these guys lose their jobs. It's not common knowledge. Because
Well, his bio is still up at Georgia Tech, or at least it was the day we found out about him.
Right. His bio was still up. And I was like, well, how did Sports Illustrated write this article and say former if his bio is still on the website? But I guess it's possible. Like, for the guy we're just talking about, Will Healy from UCF, I mean, was he still on that staff, or was he let go? Or, you know, I was just curious. I don't know. I'm always curious, like, if these people were going to be here this year and we're plucking them out.
Yeah. Did we actually hire them away, or were they on their way out already?
I mean, I would assume we didn't, because they're not making head coaching changes at UCF. So they're stable.
I still think it just looks good. Like, it just feels like a coup to grab somebody who's really should be one of our common opponents year in and year out.
Don't get me started on UCF, man.
Oh, no, I don't mean, no, I wasn't saying UCF. I was saying Charlotte. I mean, I would love UCF to be. They should be, as of like a decade ago, right? Charlotte is sort of new. Not a decade ago. Decades ago.
It looks like we got a comment on Cedar Grove.
Yeah, Cedar Grove, it looks like AAA.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but it means big.
Yeah. They go up to 5. Okay. 3A maybe is what they call it.
The middle, 3A.
Yeah. Thanks, and then the last one here is our offensive line coach, Manray St. Amour. And he was also an analyst at UGA.
Also sells cologne.
No. I know. I almost wrote it like St. Amour, like ST, but it was spelled out where it was. Manray? I don't know.
So, yeah, there's a definite theme here with UGA. You've said multiple times over and over and over again.
Del made friends in Athens.
That's good. I mean, look, I love the fact that he made friends so much that, and people respect him enough to say, hey, I'm going to leave this cushy job in Athens where I'm protected. It's nice. I got Kirby running this show. There's 8,000 analysts everywhere that aren't really head coaches or assistant coaches to come here and say, hey, I'm going to follow McGee to Georgia State. There's so much potential there, and they want to take it on. I mean,
that's what it feels like. They want to build something like that. Like he plucked out a bunch of people who were analysts and, you know, not necessarily like in the spotlight, and said, hey, let's build something over here. Just like right up the road, you know?
I like it. I mean, it's a great staff. I think we're in good hands for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm pretty sure you could only have 10, so two of those people might not end up, and, you know, who knows. But, you know, it seems like a solid list. Like, the only one I really want to stay is Andrew Allen. And, you know, that's a homer in me, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's great that he got to stay on the staff, but typically almost it's rare, right, for that to happen, for former staff members to stay.
I think so. I've never heard. I mean, I don't pay that much attention, but I don't think it's happened any of our coaching transitions.
No, it's clear. We've cleared house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Awesome. Ready to move on to basketball?
You ready for it? The best time of the year, the Sun Belt basketball tournament.
Oh, boy. You want to talk about the games?
I mean, I think it's hilarious that our last game was Marshall, and we end up playing Marshall again.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the chances? Seriously.
Yeah, that's good, right? We won. We won against them.
We did win.
We did lose against them earlier in the season, but
we did lose at Marshall. I think I looked at the score. It was like we lost by 10, 11, 12, somewhere around that, but that's not uncommon for us. You know, I mean, I guess, look, everyone knows the Sun Belt basketball tournament is full of upsets. It always is, year in and year out. I mean, even the years we won, we were so close sometimes to losing. It's really anyone's game through the tournament. Like, I know JMU and App State are the favorites, and JMU probably has the stronger, more balanced team over App State, and they should win the whole thing, but I don't know. I have this weird feeling that I don't know if App or James Madison will make it all the way through. I think there might be a dark horse like Troy or Arkansas State or even Louisiana, I hate to say it, to bounce their way through into the championship. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, our path is hard. Marshall beating a team you just won, beating them a second time, then moving on to the number two seed, James Madison.
Yeah.
And then if you win all of that, you get to face potentially our arch nemesis in just finding a way to always beat us, Troy.
I know.
And then if you win all that, you get to probably play App State, Arkansas State, or Louisiana.
Like, yeah.
That's tough. I kind of wish we had lost some more games, tanked a little bit, maybe came the 12 seed.
You still got to beat them. You still got to beat all of them, you know?
But I would much rather play Louisiana, Arkansas State, and even App State over the bracket we're in.
Yeah.
But such is life. Hey, game is our game's Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., 7:30 Central, but SBC loves to put everything in Central Time for some reason.
Oh, yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. So I don't know. I know we talked about a potential watch party. I don't know if there will be one. I might be able coerced into going over to Manny's if people want to go and at least just drink beer.
Yeah. That's Thursday?
Thursday night, 8:30. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably doable.
I think we all should do it. I mean, who knows? We could win. And then we have to come back the 8th? The very next day.
ESPN Plus, though, we might have to bring hardware.
Okay. We could do it.
Yeah.
I think I have Apple TV and I also have Fire Stick.
We have to figure it out.
Okay. Awesome. Let's do it.
Cool. All right.
I don't know about the rest of the tournament. I mean, look, you got the first round happening tomorrow, right? You got ULM playing Coastal Carolina. Sorry, Coastal, you're probably going to lose.
I'll put it back up.
Yep. You got later on at 8, Texas State and Old Dominion. Texas State all the way. Like, don't think they're going to have any problems against Old Dominion. And then our round, I actually like the fact that we play. I mean, the team probably doesn't like that we're playing at 8:30. But at least it allows us to actually have a watch party, because otherwise it's 11:30 or 12:30, 3 and 6. And all that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
So even though we're in a bad seed, we have the better times for everyone to
just to go watch it. Yeah.
All the way through.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. It's always the same time, except for the championship.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not too worried about making it to the championship. I will obviously be very excited, but we're just not better than a lot of these teams.
We're not.
And we can beat any of them, but yeah, we're not better than them. No. And so it's going to be like some luck on our side or outside,
Yeah, you could argue we're playing our best basketball of the year. We are. It's just
but we won one and we lost one last week.
Yeah. We're still playing our best basketball. That's what it tells you. But like, we're just that good to win and lose games.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like previous years. I mean, even I think I went down there in 2021 maybe for the Sun Belt basketball tournament. And I wasn't so sure about that year, but I was having pretty good feelings even with the COVID and up and down. And, we were such a good team when we didn't have COVID issues going on. And then we got all the way, through. I mean, this year and last year, I don't know. I love going to the basketball tournament, but I just don't feel super hot on our chances getting all the way through. I feel like we get upset, Marshall. Not upset, but beat Marshall.
Oh, it would. Oh no, it wouldn't be.
Wouldn't be an upset. No, if we beat JMU, it would be a huge upset.
Right, right.
And look, all the bye. Like, I love teams that get double byes, or you can call it a single bye if you don't count the first round games as a round. But the amount of time that they've not been playing and that will have played, it's hard sometimes. Teams get rusty. And even we had it when we were, dominating the SBC. We would start out some of our first round games that we were playing, and teams would go up on us, and we'd have to make our, patented comebacks and take the lead and then not give it back. But You never know.
That was like the name of the game under Ron Hunter, though. It used to frustrate the hell out of us.
I mean, we used to do that in the season. We did it in the championship rounds, everything. So, you know, who knows? James Massey can come out timid. You know, they're not the favorites, but they're the favorites if you look at Vegas to win the whole thing. They're going to be rested, which is some people think is good. A lot of people think is bad. You're not playing ball.
Yeah,
so we might come out doing really well, and if we get on one of those streaks where we shoot threes, you know, over 45%, it could be a dogfight to get to that next round.
And then we do have those like weird standout games,
right? We just need another. What was that the game we played really well? Not Mercer, Belmont. It was one of the first games we played where we just like shot the lights out, and there was no way any team was going to beat us.
Yeah.
So we'd have one of those games, and then we're on to the next round, and then all of a sudden it's, how do we not lose to Troy?
Yeah, that's always going to be rough.
We always lose to Troy.
Maybe Troy just gets beaten by somebody, though. You know, maybe we're playing Southern Miss, Texas State, or Old Dominion.
Maybe. That would be awesome. Bring it.
Yeah.
Bring the chaos. I love March Madness. So.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing about basketball, too. It's just like any of these games. I don't know. Yep. It's crazy.
What else we got going on? Enough about the.
I mean, that's it for basketball, I think.
Yeah.
Ready to move on?
We can move on from basketball.
Baseball. We had a game versus Tech, which we.
Did we?
Well, it said it on the website, but it did say we scored, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it, even though I know it's wrong, just because Dave is not here to correct me. It's 0 points. 0 points. So were we even there? Who knows?
I don't know. Did they even play baseball?
And then Tech scored 10.
Yikes.
Yeah. So
rough outing for the Diamond Panthers.
It's not great.
Yikes.
But then we swept Western Carolina. So we had a series against them. We had four games. One of them was canceled, and we won all the other three. So.
Get some
5-3, 14-7, and 13-5. So pretty good.
Get a sweep under our belt. That must feel make the team feel a bit better. So now we're like what, 4-5, something like that?
I don't have that written down.
That sounds about right.
We'll just 5-3 is a little is the closest score there, but I mean you gotta feel good about 14-7 and 13-5, right?
I mean that's just blown sounds like the bus lot boys came alive.
Yeah.
I wanted to call them the Backlot Boys. I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
The Backstreet Boys.
Oh, you call them that too, the Backstreet Boys.
In Atlanta, that means something else. So
that is also true.
That's a throwback for some of y'all, you know. I never got to experience Backstreet, and I'm quite frankly very upset about it, really.
You should be. Everyone should have experienced Backstreet. Everyone. Doesn't matter who you are.
But I can't. It's been gone.
Not anymore.
Wait, there's a Backstreet now?
No.
Oh.
That'd be crazy if they reopened it somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, the stories I've heard, I'm like, how did that even exist? Like, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, just the fact that you could go to this place, drink, dance, watch a drag show, drink more, probably do drugs all night long and come out at like 8 or 9 in the morning. And go home. Definitely not legal, but also a good time.
It happened for a while, yeah.
Yeah. So I was wrong. We're 5-6. So we're on the up and up. The sweep is fantastic. We got Mercer up next on March 6th.
They're tomorrow. Pretty good, though, aren't they? Traditionally, I don't know about this year, but they're typically pretty good.
Usually, Mercer is a pretty good team.
The Bears.
It's probably going to be a tight game with them. I'm curious what their record is. I didn't even look it up. I wanted to look it up before we got on here, and then I forgot to. They're just 9-3.
Oh, yeah. So they're pretty good. All right. Good.
But guess what? They're playing at Panthersville. So all bets are off.
That home field advantage 30 minutes outside of the city?
It's huge.
It's not 30 minutes. It's crazy to say 30 minutes. 15 minutes outside the city.
We have, after that, we have a 4-game series with Army at Panthersville, at the GSU baseball complex. So that'll be interesting. And then we can head on over to the great state of South Carolina to play South Carolina.
Oh, is Sean going to be there?
Oh, I'm sure he'll be there. I hope we beat the crap out of them somehow.
I hope he is there. You know, if I had just been a head coach at Georgia State and am now a coach at South Carolina, I would go to any sporting event that is South Carolina versus Georgia State. And we are in the same soccer conference, I think.
We are. Yeah.
So our
weird soccer Sun Belt.
Yeah, because I think SEC just doesn't have it.
They don't have enough teams. That's all it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, baseball, you know, they're on the up and up. We'll see how they do this upcoming weekend. And then after Mercer, could have a good record going to South Carolina and then headed into conference play right after that.
Yeah. I was actually a little worried you were turning this into a baseball schedule talk. And
No.
But we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Okay. Good. next up, beach volleyball.
Sandy Panthers, how they do?
Yeah, we can't not talk about them. They played at the Seminole Beach Bash. I assume that was at Florida State. Yeah, it was. we lost to Florida State. We won against Tampa, Stetson, and ULM.
So all the teams below us.
ULM has a beach volleyball team, y'all.
Well, it's swamp volleyball, but yeah, I mean, they probably do beach
volleyball. What is the sand like there?
It's just mud. It's swamp.
It's just gross. Yeah. I guess it's an inexpensive women's sport, maybe.
Yeah.
You just need like a net and a ball.
Net, ball, sand.
Some sand. Yeah. Like it's not that expensive, I guess, as far as NCAA sanctioned sports go.
All right.
But we did all right.
Hopefully the ladies are beating up all the teams we should beat, and maybe we'll eventually defy the odds and beat a team that's above us in the beach volleyball rankings.
Yeah.
That's been our ceiling. They know where we belong and we just kind of coast right at that level. So,
yeah. All right. The only thing else on the agenda is conference realignment stuff. And I think we should take that to last call.
I agree. I think we should do some last call action.
Yeah.
Talk about how stupid the NCAA is and
yeah, exactly. And how I didn't know different things and
how the ACC is going to fall apart and then rebrand itself with a bunch of schools. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's figure all that out. Let's solve that for them in last call.
All right. So let's
get you want to take us out.
Yeah, man. Thanks everyone for listening. You know, consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/stateofatlanta. You'll get early and live streaming access to Last Call, which we'll be having right here in a moment. You can join our private group chat, which is always festive with lots of chatter about head coaches, schedules, lots of schedules, and discounts on merchandise, along with free booze at events. Say goodbye, guy.
Goodbye.